a very warm welcome to our Book of Common Prayer service of Holy Communion on the second Sunday of Lent. My name is Susie Williams, rector of the parish of St. Margaret's in Chipstead. For all the notices, please can I refer you to the website, and if you would like to make a donation, because that is a mark after all of discipleship, then you will find the means to do so on our webpage if you are not already giving by BACS as one of our regular members of our church. Lent, as you know, is a season of repentance, which is why I have the mark of the cross, the ashes mark, on my forehead, to remind us that we need to incorporate good holy habits, which we are trying to do as a church, and at the moment we're following the holy habit of breaking of bread, but also to remind us to break those bad habits. So let us worship God today in spirit and in truth. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God spake these words and said, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have none other gods but me.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visit the sins of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands in them that love me and keep my commandments.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days shalt thou labour, and do all that thou hast to do. But the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou and thy son and thy daughter, thy manservant and thy maidservant, thy cattle and the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt do no murder.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not steal.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his servant, nor his maid, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his.
Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our Queen and Governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the word, both the scriptures which are living and active, and your Son, the living bread. We pray that as we reflect on today's reading and worship the one true God, so we will be fed and equipped for the next stage of our journey with you and walk in obedience born from love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We are, of course, continuing on the habit of breaking bread. But before I continue with the scripture reading set for today, I would like to apologise that I wasn't able to explain earlier why we have continued in our plans to develop the holy habit of breaking bread now, because it might seem peculiar to you that we are doing this holy habit when the pandemic is preventing us from sharing in communion physically. When I joined the service that John so valiantly and ably stepped into leading when I lost my voice a few weeks ago with a cough and cold, I must admit to shutting my eyes as he read the Eucharistic prayer and imagining myself in St. Margaret's. As I heard the words, "Take this," I received the sacraments. Not physically, but by faith and in a very real way. And it reminded me that we receive from God through faith. Perhaps our understanding and appreciation of Holy Communion might be broadened and deepened during this time when we are not physically receiving, because we will be questioning more our understanding of the sacrament. At the same time, because the cough was so tiring, I had the TV on in the day for a short rest, and I inadvertently stumbled across a programme which is now available on BBC iPlayer and which I enthusiastically commend to you, called Tudor Monastery Farm. I already knew that in that era the Catholic Church only allowed the clergy to receive the wine, but what I hadn't realised was that the majority of the laity chose not to take the consecrated bread through feelings of unworthiness, but instead chose to take panis benedictus, bread which had been merely blessed by the priest but not consecrated. I'm going to leave that little nugget for your theological reflection. But also in the programme they explained how intimately interlinked the lives of people were with the church at that time. As Ruth laid the table for the main meal of the day, to which everybody sat down, the family but also the workers inside and outside, she commented that we might see a similarity in how the table was laid with how the altar is set up, and said that this was deliberately done as the meal was seen very much as a reflection of joining together as in the Last Supper. During this time, when we are unable to physically join together in breaking bread, sharing in the Eucharist, Holy Communion, I do hope that you will reflect on what breaking bread means to you and why it is so important in the lives of Christian disciples, those who follow Christ. I'd now like to set our King's reading in context. Ahab is now king of Israel and has married Jezebel, the daughter of the king of Sidon, and is now worshipping Baal instead of the one true God, our God. Elijah, who went on to become a highly revered prophet, as I'm sure you remember, has turned up at the beginning of the chapter and announced to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these days, except by my word." Then, following God's command, he went and hid himself by the Wadi River, where ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the Wadi River. He obeyed, and God miraculously provided for him. But droughts affect everyone, even if they are a prophet of the Lord. And eventually the Wadi River dried up because there was no rain in the land. And that's where today's reading starts.
The reading is from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, beginning at verse 8, and we found on page 343 in the New Bible. The widow at Zarephath. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have instructed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replies, "I do not have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
So together we now affirm our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I wonder, what are the things that struck you as you heard the passage read? The first surprise is that the God of Israel sent the prophet of Israel to Sidon, to a different kingdom where Baal, who the Sidonians considered to be the god of water and vegetation, was worshipped. The second surprise is that he chooses a widow, someone who would have no means of her own and would rely on others for sustenance herself, to provide for him. The third surprise is that this woman is a Sidonian and presumably somebody who also worships Baal. And yet, don't we worship a God of surprises? A God who calls unexpected people. He has, after all, called us, you and me, to be disciples of Christ. And he calls us his children. We need to ignore what we perceive as rudeness in how Elijah talks to her. That was normal in the culture of that time. But the fourth surprise, maybe, is that although God has previously told Elijah that he has commanded the widow to provide for him, he appears, from the way the story is written, to have failed to inform the widow. Would Elijah have gone if he thought that approaching the widow was up to him? Do we need the confidence of believing that the path has been totally prepared for before us, before we'll set out on it? The difference between the first verses, which we didn't hear, and these seems to me that in the first, Elijah was passive, doing what God commanded of him passively. In these verses, he's beginning to use his initiative and to act according to his calling. When we start on the road as disciples, we're like small children who receive and hopefully learn and grow. But God wants all of those who follow Christ to grow in maturity of faith and to step into their calling. God's provision for Elijah at the beginning was extremely generous, and the ravens fed Elijah a far richer diet than that usually enjoyed by others. It was a miraculous provision. We still worship a God of miracles. I have seen and experienced and been instrumental in their delivery. But God wants others to be involved in the provision of his generosity, which is why he doesn't perform miracles all the time. He wants us to have the opportunity to continue the ministry of the Messiah, to be Christ's body in the world. And so he doesn't always provide in a supernatural way, which I'm sure you'll agree that the ravens feeding Elijah was. I've never known a raven willingly share its food with anything. Here he allows a woman, a widow, a Gentile, someone of little means to provide. Has God asked things of you and given you the chance to provide for others? Did you answer that call and find the blessing which comes from helping others or not? When we reflect God's generosity and love to others, we receive so much in return. For me, the fifth surprise was not that she recognised that Elijah was an Israelite, nor that she knew of the God he worshipped, but that she talks of God so reverently. I wonder what impression others have of God because of how Christians talk about God, or perhaps don't talk about him, and whether that view has been skewed by the actions of those who purport to follow him. Do we show God's love? Does the way in which we live honour him and bring glory to his name? It might surprise you to know that some research that the Barna Trust did, I think it was about 5 years ago, showed that the majority of people came to faith because they knew a Christian. A friend or family member showed them the love of God, and that God is actually thought well of, and so are Christians. Can I persuade you to boldly talk about God's love and to show God's love to others. The woman has no bread and very little flour or oil. She is not someone to whom the hungry would naturally turn. And Elijah asks so much of her with the sixth surprise. Make me a little cake of the flour and oil, and then make something for yourself and your son. Surely it would be more natural to say, make some cakes of bread and share some with me. And surely a mother's first instinct would be to feed her son. But Elijah then delivers the sixth surprise to the woman. Perhaps it's not such a surprise to us because we know of God's generosity and that he's a God of miracles. The jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. If you read on, you discover that the drought lasted 3 years. 3 years. That's a long time for a small bowl of meal and a small jug of oil to last. The Book of Kings makes for interesting reading, so perhaps I can encourage you to carry on reading it. You will see the progression of Elijah from someone who started off passively obeying to someone who has trusted enough in God to know him much better and to know that he can intercede for others and to go boldly where others might not. From the perspective of the holy habit of breaking bread, we can see in this passage the way that God seeks to lead us as disciples of Christ from passivity to intercession and action to maturity of faith. We see the generosity of God in his provision of our basic needs and that he gives all that he has. He did, after all, give his only son. He asks that we, as his body, will also be generous, perhaps be sacrificial as well. And in that way, we can be blessed as the woman was, who had first to give the bread to a stranger, before then trusting that the meal and oil would have been replenished so that she could feed her only son and herself. This is an account of obedience and sacrifice as we draw closer to the biggest story, surely, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate obedience exhibited by the Messiah when he went to the cross. This tells us of the importance of relationship, that which grew between Elijah and the widow and her son, and between God and Elijah, and God and the widow. At a time when we are not able to physically meet with others outside our bubble, how can we build relationship with those around us? How can we share God's generosity with others? How can we break bread? I pray that as we ponder these questions and seek answers from God, he will surprise us, draw us closer, and set us out on those unexpected paths of blessing and relationship. May God bless you and keep you in the next few days and weeks and years.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Father, all things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. So let us pray now for the whole state of Christ Church Militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations, and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, especially thy servant Elizabeth, our queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed. And grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present, that, with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. And so we pray together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. And now we give thee thanks, because thou didst give us the spirit of discipline, that we may triumph over evil and grow in grace, as we prepare to celebrate the Paschal mystery with mind and heart renewed. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he who that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
So we join together in the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for us, preserve our bodies and souls unto everlasting life. Take and eat this, in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart, by faith, with thanksgiving. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us, preserve our bodies and souls unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord and Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Most humbly beseeching thee to grant, that by the merit and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy, through our manifold sins, to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offences. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honour and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
So may God bless you and keep you this week.